As we prepare now to hear God's word from the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, beginning with the 18th verse, I would remind everyone that through this fall, we have been looking together at our theme of growing together in the way of Jesus. And as you hear this story about Joseph, consider how Joseph, in this early stage, before the birth of his son, Mary's son, before the birth of his son, Joseph was able to grow in a way, in the way of Jesus. So as we grow together in the way of Jesus, let's listen together for these words from the Gospel of Matthew. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he'd resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May your Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. Most of us, I think, can point to a pivotal moment or moments in our lives when we were pretty sure we knew what was going to happen next. Our best laid plans had been ever so carefully mapped out. Our hearts were set on a particular outcome, or perhaps we'd taken matters into our own hands to make the best of what we considered to be a not so good situation. Then just when we were convinced we knew what was going to unfold, for good or ill, something occurred that changed the way ahead for us. When Joseph became engaged to Mary, I'm pretty certain that he had a particular set of expectations for how the days ahead were going to play out. They didn't involve Mary becoming pregnant without his participation before they were married. And that wasn't part of Joseph's plan, but it happened. So presented with that little wrinkle in the unfolding of his life's journey, Joseph decided on a course of action. Being a righteous and kind person, he didn't want to publicly humiliate Mary, or worse, have her stoned to death. So he resolved to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had made up his mind to do that, just when he had come up with his own way forward, just when he was certain he knew what was best, something happened. According to Matthew's gospel, an angel appeared to him in a dream. He had an encounter with a messenger from God who helped him see his situation in a brand new light. Just when Joseph settled on what he was going to do and the angel came, just when he thought he knew what was best, he sensed the divine breaking in, and just when he was ready to quit, a dream reframed Joseph's perspective. It's just when moments like the one Joseph had that have captured my attention these past few weeks. This idea that just when we think something is all settled, or in our infinite wisdom we have it all figured out, a power greater than ourselves can bring something better than we imagined on our own, or remind us that at least we are not alone in what is, or lead us into some new way of looking on or acting in our situation. The Bible is full of such just wins. You might even say that God is a just win kind of God. Think about it. Just when an aging Abraham and Sarah had given up hope of ever having a child on their own, along came three visitors to tell them that they were going to have Isaac. Just when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son, thinking he was being faithful in doing so, he heard a voice from heaven saying, "Hold on, don't hurt the boy." Just when Jacob was scared to death that his brother Esau was going to exact terrible revenge on him, an angel appeared, wrestling him at the river Jabbok, wounding him and giving him a new name. Just when Moses in the wilderness of Midian had just about forgotten his connection to the people of Israel, God appeared to him in a burning bush to call him to lead them out of Egypt. Just when the formerly enslaved Hebrews came to the Red Sea with Pharaoh's army hot on their heels, the waters opened up and they passed through. Just when Jonah was ready to write off the hated Ninevites, who he didn't want to prophesy to in the first place, remember, the belly of the whale? Just when he was ready to watch fire rain down on them, they repented in sackcloth and ashes. Just when the weary world had about given up hope for a redeemer, a baby was born in Bethlehem. And just when that baby grew into a man and thought he had his mission all figured out, and that it was only the lost sheep of the house of Israel, a Syrophoenician woman came along and asked him to cast a demon out of her daughter and wouldn't take no for an answer or be dismissed as a Gentile dog who didn't deserve the children's bread. Just when the disciples had given up hope in the aftermath of Jesus' crucifixion, some of the women came back from his tomb to tell them that he had risen from the dead. And just when Peter, even after that moment, had gone back to his old life of fishing, thinking he could never be forgiven for denying Jesus, his Lord called out to him from the shore and fed him breakfast and charged him to feed his sheep. And just when Saul of Tarsus had resolved to go to Damascus to persecute the people of the way, he was knocked to the ground by a light and a voice from heaven saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" We serve a just win kind of God. How often I have found that if I will just open my mind and my heart, the wisdom and hope and challenge and love of God come along just when I need them. In the comforting words and listening ear of a friend when I'm down, or the affirming email that arrives in my inbox at just the right time, or the challenge to go deeper issued by a mentor, or the nudge the Spirit gives me to go out and help someone else. Back in December of 2007, Karen Ray, who a number of you will remember, invited the women she was working with from the Fulton House of Hope in D.C. to come and sing and worship and light the wreath on the first Sunday of Advent. The Fulton House, an arm of Gospel Rescue Ministries in D.C., works with women who are seeking to make their way out of a life of addiction. Preaching 2 weeks later, I talked about how if we are open to it, we can see signs of God's kingdom coming all over the place. I related how one of the Fulton House ladies told me after that service on the first Sunday of Advent, "Preacher, that sermon was right on time. And I can tell I'm growing, because 6 months ago, I never thought I'd be able to learn something from somebody like you." Right on time. I love that. If we are attentive, if we open ourselves to really listening, the wisdom and encouragement and challenge of God comes along just when we need it. If we'll just pay attention for God's sake, we might even see and hear angels like Joseph did. Perhaps they will be disguised as men and women experiencing homelessness, or a little child, or a person that we encounter in the coffee shop or at the grocery store, or on a visit to a prison, or sitting in a hospital waiting room. Who knows? The angels we meet might even be in preaching robes. Just when we think we've got this life thing all figured out, somebody or something may come along to help us see or act in a new way. Just when we think our life is over and hope is gone because we've lost something or someone we depended on, somebody will come along and remind us that we are still cherished and needed. And just when we've written somebody off or decided we'll never, ever in a million years let go of our resentment, something might just break loose in us. For those who are attuned to the life of the Spirit, just when moments can happen all of the blessed time. So let me suggest a few tools to increase our awareness. Number one, it can help to begin the day with centering prayer or even just a minute or two of breathing deeply. An Episcopal priest friend of mine turned me on to a breath prayer or mantra he's been using recently to help ground and center himself in the divine. It goes like this. I breathe in grace. I breathe out fear. This is now. I am here. Try that with me. I breathe in grace. I breathe out fear. This is now. I am here. One more time. I breathe in grace. I breathe out fear. This is now. I am here. If that doesn't work for you, try something even simpler at the start of a day. Something like, hey, God, surprise me with your grace today. Help me be aware of your abiding presence. Show me something new. Or you might use the prayer that Father Michael Judge, the priest who worked with the New York Fire Department and was killed on 9/11, used every day. This is what he prayed. Lord, take me where you want me to go. Let me meet who you want me to meet. Tell me what you want me to say. And keep me out of your way. It's the staying out of God's way that's the hardest part, isn't it? So, number two, be open to the fact that you and I might be wrong in our ideas. If I am convinced that I am right all the time, I can never glean new insights. I love the Peanuts cartoon where Charlie Brown looks up to Snoopy, who's on top of his red doghouse. He's sitting on top of the red doghouse typing away. Charlie says, I hear you're writing a book on theology. I hope you have a good title. Snoopy thinks to himself, and you can see the little thought bubble going up. I have the perfect title. And then he types it. Has it ever occurred to you that you might be wrong? What a great title for a book of theology. Joseph might have had the experience with the angel in his dream, but if he weren't willing to be talked out of his previous certainty, he never would have taken Mary for his wife. Third, remember this classic poem from Anne Weems. It's a Presbyterian author and poet and elder from St. Louis. A Presbyterian poet whose son was murdered when he was in his early 20s. This classic poem. In each heart lies a Bethlehem, an inn where we must ultimately answer whether there is room or not. When we are Bethlehem-bound, we experience our own advent in his. When we are Bethlehem-bound, we can no longer look the other way, conveniently not seeing stars nor hearing angel voices. We can no longer excuse ourselves by busily tending our sheep or our kingdoms. This Advent, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the Lord has made known to us. In the midst of shopping sprees, let's ponder in our hearts the gift of gifts. Through the tinsel, let's look for the gold of the Christmas star. In the excitement and confusion, in the merry chaos, let's listen for the brush of angels' wings. This Advent, let's go to Bethlehem and find our kneeling places. And if we find those kneeling places in the next couple of days, if we haven't found them already, we might find that along with the awareness of God's presence, we are gifted with a sense of agency and ability to act. I often spend part of Wednesday morning looking for just the right quote to put on the front of the bulletin. Guess what? The quote on the front of the bulletin, although it's awesome, is not the perfect quote. The perfect quote for this sermon was uttered by Ansel Adams. Ansel Adams, who had this amazing eye for seeing God at work in the world and nature. What Ansel Adams said, what I want to leave you with today, is sometimes I arrive just when God is ready to have somebody click the shutter. In Jesus' name, amen.